Thank you so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in six different locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
I want to look at two of the most famous siblings in all of Scripture, and they were important because they were friends of Jesus, and the Bible would talk about how Jesus would go over to their house for dinner. Y'all, that'd be pretty cool if Jesus showed up at your house to eat some potato salad, and he would go to their house, and they were quite famous for that. They were actually friends of Jesus. He would want to spend time with them, and they had a brother that was quite famous as well. He died in Scripture, and it's really one of the only times we see Jesus actually cry. Jesus wept when he died. His name was Lazarus. And, of course, we know the story. Jesus went to Lazarus' home and raised him from the dead. But Lazarus had two sisters that we're going to read about today. And help me out if you know their names. Their name was Mary and Martha. And I just want to take a few minutes today. I want to read this story. It's found in the Gospel of Luke. So if you have your Bibles or your devices, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, third book in the Bible, New Testament. You can look with me or just simply look on the screen. And Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And this is going to be just a very practical message. I'm not going to get really excited today. I didn't even break a sweat this morning, the first service. So if you have your Bibles, go with me there and we'll read it. And this is what it says. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. When you read the story, I used to think it was Mary and Martha's house, but the Bible is very clear on whose house it is. It's Martha's house. Jesus came to Martha's house, and then it says, and Martha was distracted with all the preparations. I say that because when we have responsibility in owning a house, how many know the greater the responsibility, sometimes the greater the distractions? It says, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. So she came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. And Jesus replied, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better. She has chosen what is better. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of choosing what is better. Choosing what is better. We make important choices in life, and sometimes choosing what is better is easy, isn't it? By a show of hands, we play this game at our house called Would You Rather. Anybody ever play that game? And so we'll take two scenarios, and I'll ask the kids, would you rather? And I give them one scenario, and then I say, or, and then I give them the other scenario. So I'll start with a couple easy ones. Who's going to win the national championship? Is it going to be LSU or Clemson? See, that was easy. That was so easy. And if you say Clemson, then bye. See you. I'm just kidding. Okay, would you rather eat ribeye steak or hot dogs? Yeah, that one's easy. Now these are gonna get a little tougher. Okay, so help me out. We're gonna raise our hands for these. Would you rather eat boudin or cracklings? Okay, boudin people, wave at me. Crackling people, wave at me. How many just want both? Wave at me. Okay. All right. Here we go. Couple more. Would you rather go an entire week with no internet or an entire week with no cell coverage? No internet, raise your hand. No cell coverage, raise your hand. We all split on that one. All right. Would you rather no one show up to your wedding or no one show up to your funeral? Wedding? Funeral. I'm saying don't come to my funeral. Come to my wedding. If they come to your wedding, they bring you presents. I can't take nothing with me at my funeral. Yeah, I don't care who comes. I ain't gonna be there. Okay. Would you rather, these are gonna get fun. Would you rather go back 200 years and spend time with your ancestors or go 200 years into the future and meet your great, great, great grandkids? Okay, past, raise your hand. Future, raise your hand. All right, doesn't say getting harder. All right. Any of you like superhero movies? Okay, here's a good one. Superpowers. Would you rather be able to fly or read minds? How many say fly? How many say read minds? I say fly because if I'm flying, I know what's going through your mind. How's he flying? All right, all right. Those are tough choices. Here's the next one. I'm going to answer this one a little later, so don't answer yet. Would you rather experience the life God intended for you or get all the things that you need to get done, done? Ooh. See if I can help answer this. So my son is currently playing basketball, and I'm the assistant coach. That means I'm the assistant to the assistant for the WCA fifth grade basketball team. And so right now, we're 6-0. And they say it starts with coaching. And so my son believes that he is the white version of James Harden. I mean, he will shoot and not even look and just run down court like he made it. And so he gets a little cocky because he'll score some points. And he gets a little cocky. And so the other day we were getting ready for a game. And he's like, Dad, I'm going to drop about 14 points on these boys tonight. Dude, you're 10, man. Just chill. And so I said, is that all you care about? Yeah, I'm going to break some ankles. I'm like, do you care about winning? And so I asked him, I said, Tucker, would you rather win the game or score a bunch of points? He said, Dad, I'd rather do both. When it comes to God and choosing the God things or choosing the things that you got to get done, I believe you can choose both. And here's how you do it. I'm going to give you one word. We're going to talk about this word for about the next 20 minutes. Then you can go eat lunch, all right? The word I want to talk about this morning is margin. Everybody say margin. Let me give you a working definition of margin. Margin is the difference between what you have and what you need. And if what you have doesn't amount to what you need, then you ain't got enough margin. So if you've got 30 minutes of time to get to a place and it takes you 20 minutes to get there, you have 10 minutes of margin. If you have a $100 bill in your pocket and you're going to get groceries and it costs you $80, you have $20 of margin. Last night, all LSU needed was 29 points to win the game, but they got 63. How many know that's a large margin of victory? I can't do the math that quick in my head. But it's margin. It's the difference between what you have and what you need. I remember when I was in college, one of my first jobs was I was working at the Lafayette Regional Airport and actually got promoted after a few years. I was going to school, and so I was in charge of the guys that refilled the airplanes. We were called linemen, and we'd work. How many ever pulled up to the airport and you saw the guys with the flashlights? With the vest? That was me. I did that. That's why I can't hear today. I didn't wear hearing protection. And so I was in charge of those guys, and so I was going to UL at the time. So I'd work in the afternoons, but my job was to make sure all the guys were doing their job. And so I'd have to check the time cards. And so there was a guy that worked there. His name was Carl, and Carl's job was to get there. He had the 7 o'clock shift every day. And at the end of the week, I would go and I'd pull the time cards and I'd look. And every week, Carl would clock in at 7:02, 7:04, 707, 709. I think in 2 years of working with Carl, Carl never made it into the sixes. It was always after seven. And so this goes on for a while. And finally, one day I called Carl in. I said, Carl, what time are you supposed to be at work? He says, I'm supposed to be at work at 7. I said, Carl, let's look at this. 7:02, 7:06, 7:09, 7:11. Why do you get here so late? He says, I timed it. It takes me 7 minutes to get to work. So I leave my house every morning at exactly 6:53. So I said, what happened on these days? Well, this day there was a train, and that day there was a wreck, and this day I caught 3 red lights, and one day I forgot my lunch. I had to turn around and go get my chickens and kidneys and rice. And I said, Carl, you have no margin. Margin is what most of us need, yet we do not have. And I'm convinced that the best things in life happen inside of margin. Let's go back and read the story and see if we can take a couple points away. It says this. It says this. Jesus and his disciples were on their way. They came to a village where there was a woman named Martha. Everybody say Martha. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. She was with Jesus, but Martha was distracted. It's interesting you have two women who were raised by the same parents, living in the same house, who have the same opportunity to spend time with Jesus. And Mary creates a moment. Mary probably has some chores she could have done too, but she recognizes the moment. But Martha, on the other hand, gets distracted. She's wigging out, and she misses an opportunity. And what's amazing to me is that Martha wasn't distracted by some bad things. It's not like Martha got distracted because she was getting jiggy with it at the club. Martha wasn't distracted because she was cooking meth in the basement. It's not like she was distracted by the bad things. She was actually distracted by the good things. She's like, y'all, Jesus, JC, is coming over. Let's get the smell good candles out. Get the nice towels. Y'all know you got the nice towels. Put the nice ones out, the nice towels in the bathroom that match the, you know, shower curtain. Fold the toilet paper the right way. You know, make sure the room is clean. Jesus may go put his cloak on the bed. And she got so busy. Everybody say busy. And I wonder if I'm talking to anybody in O-Town today that life has just got busy. Just busy. Just running. Just hustling, just going, just trying, just moving, getting so caught up in the hustle and grind of life that you have just gotten so stinking busy. Is there anybody here today? Am I talking to any moms in the house that you're just sick and tired? You just did the dishes 10 minutes ago. How in the world did those cups end up? Am I talking to anybody that you just get stuck being busy? Am I talking to any men who just get so busy trying to provide for the family that you love, only to find out that you're so distracted by being busy that you never get to spend time with them anyway? We just get so busy. Write this down. Maybe, just maybe, the goal of the enemy is not to get you to turn your back on Jesus. Maybe the goal of the enemy is to get you so busy that you miss out on Jesus and the life that he wants you to have. Doing the good stuff. I remember not too long ago, I was at the house. It was an off day for me, but I was getting some stuff done because, you know, emails don't answer themselves. And church people like to email, you know what I'm saying? And so I'm answering some emails, and I think I'm working on a message. And it's important because I got help run the church, and I'm trying to take care of church stuff. And Tucker comes in, and Tucker is 10, about to be 11. And Tucker comes in, and he says, Dad, it's wrestle time. And my son's at this age where he wants to wrestle, and he thinks he can beat me. But what I'm learning is the older you get, the less fair you fight. I'll do anything to win. I will, because he ain't beat me. And so we wrestle like every day. And so he comes in, and he's like, it's wrestle time. And I'm like, not now, buddy. Dad's doing some important stuff. I got to answer these emails. This is important. And I'm working on a message. This is important. And he's like, nope. It's not email time. It's wrestle time. And then I'm like, just a minute. Stop. Just stop, son. Stop hanging. You're distracting me. Just stop. I got to do some important stuff right now. Just we'll wrestle later. And he's like, no, it's wrestle time. I'm like, please stop distracting me. And then it hit me. Tucker wasn't the distraction. The stupid email is the distraction, because right in front of me was the main thing. And he's only 10 once. And he's only going to want to wrestle for so long. And don't miss out on the times he wants to wrestle, because I'm too consumed for a stupid email. And my question is, how many times in life are we so distracted that we miss the main thing? Look at what Martha says. Martha is so distracted by cleaning up. Y'all, she's got the Swiffer out. She's got the little vacuum. She's Windexed. They probably don't have windows back then, but she Windexed anyway. She's getting it clean. And she's mad because Mary didn't help her. And she goes to Jesus and she says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell that girl to help me. And here's what's funny to me, is that Martha is absolutely convinced that what she was doing was necessary and right. And I'm saying that because what in our lives are we doing that's distracting us from the main thing that we've actually convinced ourselves is necessary and right? What are we missing out on because we've settled for the distraction? Here lies the greatest challenge of me preaching this message, is that most of us have the Martha mentality, and we've convinced ourselves that the way we are living is necessary and right. We've bought into the lie because your mama did it, your daddy did it, our culture does it, that you gotta hustle, that you gotta grind, that you're always going, you're always working, you're always spending, you're always hustling, and if you keep doing all those things, you're always gonna miss out on the main thing. And we go through life missing moments, missing the main thing. And I just wanna give you two quick thoughts, and I'm gonna give you two responses, and take me about 10 minutes to do this, because we all need margin. Everybody say margin. We need our margin to increase, not decrease, right? How many of you, if you have $100 in your pocket and you go to the store and you come back with 50 cents, you upset? But if you go and you come back with $35, you're like, all right. Why? Because we need our, that's increasing margin. We need our margin to increase. So let me give you a couple warnings. Number one, write this down. When your margin decreases, your stress levels, yes, they do, they increase. When you're running late all the time and your margin decreases, what happens? You start getting stressed out, don't you? Come on, you ever been running late? I mean, something happens on the inside of you where every person around you is a jerk. You got to feel like you got to yell at everybody, get out the way. I mean, something rises up. Why? Because you become stressed. It happened to some of you today on the way to church. I know it wasn't your fault, sir. You were ready to go on time. But she had to change her outfit 6 times. And so you left 15 minutes late, and because your margin decreased, you were saying some ungodly things on the way to come and meet God at church. Why? Because when margin decreases, your stress increases. I'm not just talking about time. I'm talking about financially too. If your financial margin decreases, what happens? What happens in your marriage? What happens in your marriage when you ain't got no money? You fight, don't you? Oh, you spend what? On what? You must have me confused with a man that makes a lot of money, girl. And then all of a sudden, stress starts to increase when your margin decreases. And if something breaks, if the washer machine breaks, now you got a bunch of problems, because now your kids got some dirty clothes that you can't clean, and you ain't got no money to fix it. So if you like stress in your life, decrease margin, because you'll have a bunch of it. The second thing, if you're taking notes, is this. When margin decreases, Your relational intimacy also decreases. It affects everyone around me, doesn't it? There's always tension. We're always at each other. The more stressed I am, the more stressed she is, the more stressed the kids are. You know what I'm talking about? Listen, Martha is ready to kill Mary. Jesus, talk to her. Help me. Why? Because Martha's relational intimacy is decreasing. When margin decreases, your relational intimacy decreases. And we see it all the time, don't we, in our lives? Come on, help me out, man. You get busy at work, trying to meet deadlines. So you're stressed out when you come home, and you come home from work, but you don't come home from work. You know what I'm talking about? Because you have no margin, you come home, but you're really not home. And though you're with your family, you're really not present. And because you have all this stress from work, your kids spill some apple juice, and all of a sudden, it's World War III in your house over some apple juice. Why? Because when the margin decreases, so does the relational intimacy. And you don't just fight, but you tend to connect less. A while back, we went out to dinner. It was me and Rachel and the kids. And there was a family that was sitting like a booth across from us. And the parents were about the same age as us, and the kids were about the same age as my kids. So you kind of can relate with them. And so we're looking over, and we're kind of loud at the table. We're talking, having conversation, and we talk at the table. And I noticed this family isn't talking at all. And they'd been sitting there for about 10 minutes, and not one person said a word. And finally I looked over, and all four of them at the table had a device. And they were all like this with their thumbs. And the dad was probably, I don't know, he's probably emailing work. And the mom was doing what moms do. She was checking out Pinterest and how she can fix up her dining room. And one kid was playing a game, and one kid was texting. I'm just thinking about our lives, how we let electronics ruin our relationships. And we just get stuck in the scroll. And we can't even go to bed without checking the feed. And the last thing you do before you go to bed is not kiss your spouse or say a prayer to Jesus. It's checking Instagram. It's checking Facebook. It's getting stuck in the scroll. And the last thing we do is put that thing down. Some of us, we're so addicted, we get up in the middle of the night at 3 o'clock and you can't do nothing. And you get up and you pick up and you check Facebook and Instagram and Pinterest, just scrolling. The first thing we do when we get up in the morning is we check the feed. And we become so enamored by what someone else is doing in the moment that we can't even live in ours. The reality is, some of you, you know what your high school friend from 27 years ago had for lunch yesterday because you saw it on Instagram, but you don't know the friends your kids are hanging out with. That ain't even in my notes. And we just get stuck. We get so distracted. Back in the 1500s, they used to take, when people would become guilty of crimes, in order to kill them, what they would do was they would tie a horse to the four limbs of this individual to torture them. How many of you have ever seen that? And they would tie one horse to this limb and one horse to this limb and one horse to a leg and another horse. Then they would whip the horses and the horses would run in different directions. How many of you have ever seen that in a movie? You know what it's called? It's called death by distraction. They would literally distract the members of their body. And the reality is some of us are getting pulled just like that in every single direction, and we're dying by distraction. Can I help you out? I'm talking to myself. Parents, listen to me. Put the phone down. Don't go into a restaurant with your device. Don't blame your kids. You set the example. You put it down when you come home. That's good preaching. I don't care if you clap or not. Why? Because when margin decreases, relational intimacy decreases. Not just with people, but with God too, right? You've run into people. They used to come to this church. They sat by you in the front row. And then all of a sudden, you hadn't seen them in 6 months, and you run into them at the store, and you go, "Girl, where you been?" And they say, "Oh, we've been wanting to come to church, but life has just gotten so..." No, it hasn't. You just ran out of margin. And then people say this to me all the time. Well, I just got to find time like it's hidden. I just got to make time. You can't make time. The only thing you can do with time is spend it. Become so distracted with good things. And we've convinced ourselves that what we're doing is right and necessary. And because of that, we just live in a world where we just get so stressed out, don't we? So what do we do? Like, anybody here get stressed? Am I talking to any single moms? You used to get stressed. The answer lies in Matthew chapter 11. And this is going to be so basic. I'm going to say this, and you're like, "Man, that's it. This is it. This is so basic." Here it is. So here's what we do. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 29. It says this: "Come to me," this is Jesus speaking, "all you who are weary and burdened." I'm going to add some more adjectives. "Come to me, all you who are exhausted and tired and tense and stressed and worn out and drained." And look what it says: "And your vacation will give you rest." That's what we think, though, isn't it? If I could just give me some me time, all I need is a bubble bath and a book. Let me binge watch Netflix for about 6 hours. I'll be good. No. You don't need Netflix. You don't need a bubble bath and a bath bomb. That's not what you need. You need some Jesus time. The vacation won't get you rest. It'll distract you. And then when the vacation's over, the rest is over. Jesus, come to me. I will give you rest. Number one, write this down. We all need intentional time with Jesus. Intentional time with Jesus. Remember like you used to have? Back in the good old days. Y'all remember the good old days? I wish somebody would tell you when the good old days are the good old days. I read the story of, there was a husband and wife, and when they first got married, like 30 years ago, they would ride in this pickup truck. Y'all remember when pickup trucks were just one bench seat, and it was vinyl? And if you didn't put your seatbelt on, you just slid everywhere. Y'all remember those? And so he didn't want her to slide everywhere, and the seatbelt didn't really work. So he'd put one up arm on the steering wheel like this, and then you put one arm up on the glass behind you, and you'd kind of slide her over. And so they'd ride these old country dirt roads, hip to hip, listening to some Willie Nelson on the road again. And they did that for a while. Well, 30 years goes by, and y'all, they listen to the same songs, driving the same roads in the same old truck. But now she's sitting over here by the window, and he's sitting over here, and she's just getting mad because she ain't up on next to him like she used to be. And one day they're riding down the same old road, listening to the same old music, and she just had enough. And she says, "I'm sick and tired of this. Don't you remember 30 years ago we used to ride the same road, listen to the same music, and I used to be up on your side, hip to hip with your arm around me?" And he looks at her and say, "I didn't move." I think what Jesus would say to us today is, it doesn't matter how far you slid over on the seat of life. It doesn't matter how busy you become in your schedule. It doesn't matter how distracted you are. Why don't you just slide back over? My arm is still where it used to be. I haven't left you. I've never forsaken you. I've never moved. Just come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. I think he would say, come to me, single parent who's about to fall apart. Come to me, businessman who feels like you're about to lose it all. Come to me, mom who has no time for herself. Come to me, those who are overwhelmed, those who are stressed and distracted. I'm right where I've always been. Why don't you just come back over next to me? We've got to learn to spend intentional time with Jesus. And if we don't make intentional time with Jesus, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, we will slide just a little bit at a time, a little bit of time. You know what I learned about life seats? They're vinyl too. And you'll slide real far away. And you've got to become intentional with Jesus. You've got to make time for Jesus. He says, come to me. Now, we hear come to me, but the Greeks would hear something different. That word come to me in the Greek is actually the word jut. And it means a call to turn from what you are presently depending on. And I think what God is saying to us today is that some of us have gone through life depending on everything else. Depending on a paycheck. Depending on a job. Depending on something. And what Jesus is saying, what you really need to do is slide back on over and depend on me. Just depend on me. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to have all the answers. Just depend on me. And that's hard because we want it all figured out. And we work hard for our lives because we want to have the stuff. And we want to make the money. We want to have the job. And we want to fix everything. And that's all the things. But look what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6. He says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And then all the things you've been worrying about, I'm going to throw those in for free. All those things will be added to you, but you got to seek me first. So number one, we need some intentional time with Jesus. Y'all, we're going to help you out. We start off every year at the church by creating intentional time with Jesus. We're going to do two things this year. We do a week of prayer and fasting. We start off every single year with a week of prayer and fasting. And so we're going to put prayer and fasting January 6th through the 10th. That's Monday through Friday. We're going to have prayer every single morning right here from 6 to 7 a.m. We're going to come and pray for you. We're going to pray for your needs. In fact, at the end of service, we're going to give you an opportunity. There's prayer cards in front of you to fill out what you're believing for in 2020. And you're going to have hundreds of people, your brothers and sisters, praying and believing with you every single day for a week. Not only are we going to pray, but we're going to take that entire week. We're going to go the 6th, actually to the 12th, and we're going to have a time of fasting. And that's going to look different ways for different people. Some of you may fast food. That's not McDonald's. That's like actually fast food. Where you give up some meals. Maybe it's one meal a day. Maybe it's certain types of meals. Maybe you do a Daniel fast where you get rid of sweets and meats and you just eat vegetables. Some of you may fast some vices in your life. You may fast social media. What might happen in your life if you actually talk to people instead of read about them? We're going to give God a week of our life where we just seek him first. And the second thing we're going to do is the following week, the 14th, 15th, and 16th. By the way, LSU plays on the 13th. We move it to the 14th. So the Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we do something here we call spiritual renewal. It's revival services we're going to have right here in Opelousas. Dr. Darius Daniels is going to be with us. Why? Because we want to seek God first and spend intentional time with him. And number two, Vic, help me out as I close. Not only do we need intentional time with Jesus, this is going to be the hardest part for many of us because we've been conditioned to believe that we don't need this. Number two, you need an intentional time of rest in 2020. An intentional time of rest. Look what Jesus says. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you. That's what you really need. That's what you really want. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. Most of us, when we get busy and we lose margin, we feel like we can't afford to take rest. We've bought into the lie that, man, I ain't going to give the devil no ground. I'm going to keep fighting. I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep going. I got this. Listen to me. Not only is rest important, rest is spiritual. Did you know that? Rest is spiritual. God worked 6 days, then he rested. If God needs rest, don't you think you need some too? Hello. Not only does God want it, God commands it. What? Yeah. Right up there with do not murder. There's a commandment that says, keep the Sabbath. And I know we've been taught our entire life that keeping the Sabbath means that you come to church. That's part of it. The word Sabbath is the word Shabbat. It means to rest. God commands us to rest. The Jews would understand this as a huge principle to them. In fact, the Jews were great farmers. And in the Jewish culture, God actually instructed the people to work the land for 6 straight years. Work the land, farm the land. Then he would tell them this. Take the 7th year completely off. Don't work. Don't work. You can't work. You can't plant. You can't harvest. It was forbidden. It's in the book of Leviticus. You have to take a year of rest. It was called the Shemitah. Now, let me ask you this. Can you imagine today if you run a business looking at your employees and saying, hey, guys, man, we had a good 6 years. Y'all take 2020 off. I'll see y'all January 1st, 2021. See y'all. Would we do that? No, we wouldn't do that. We wouldn't say, shut it down. We good. Go to Disney World. We wouldn't do it. No way. We got to make money. We got to build. We got to produce. But the principle that the Jews understood was you will produce more with rest than you ever will if you keep going. It's the principle of margin. Why? Because they understood in that year off that the ground gets to rest and the nutrients were rejuvenated and the soil is strengthened because something was happening beneath the surface of the soil. And I'm saying that because when we learn to rest and take time off, something begins to happen beneath the surface of your soul where God begins to do something and heal you and heal your wounds and rejuvenate you. But we live in this culture where we think we're weak if we take time off. I was talking to a good friend of mine. I was like, man, you need some time off. And he looked at me and goes, man, I ain't had a day off in 2 years. He's bragging about it. Bless you. He looked at me and goes, I can't afford to rest. And I just looked at him. I said, bro, you can't afford not to. Let me be your example. I went years without resting because that's what a good pastor is supposed to do. Just grinding, just hustling. I preached 48 weeks straight, 4 services a week. That's stupid. I mean, seriously, that is stupid. And I was, I got to do it. If I don't do it, who's going to do it? I got to do it because I love the people. I got to be there for the people. I got to be there for the people. I'm the pastor. Until I burnt myself out. And I couldn't get out of bed. And I'm going to the doctor, dealing with depression. And I can't function. And my medical doctor looks at me after they do extensive blood tests and said, your cortisol levels are the highest we've ever seen. And it's affected your adrenal glands, and your adrenal gland is actually shut down. And instead of producing testosterone, your body's actually now producing estrogen because you've been going for way too long. What you were doing is killing yourself. And the doctor actually prescribed me to take 3 months off. So don't tell me you can't afford to rest. I'm telling you, you can't afford not to. Let's go back to our text. I'm closing. And Jesus answers. Because, you know, Martha's trying to get Mary to do all the work too. And look how Jesus answered her. He says, Martha, 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 Martha. Oh, Martha, 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 Martha. There's a special tenderness of reproof in a twofold utterance of a name. When the Jews would have a twofold utterance of a name, the way that we would translate that in our culture is, oh, bless your heart. It'd be like, Troy, 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 Troy. Bless your heart. You don't have a clue. That's what Jesus is telling her. Martha, 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 bless your little heart. He goes, you're worried. You're upset about many things. She wasn't even upset about the cleaning. Isn't that the way stress works in your life? You think it's one thing, it's really something else. She wasn't upset with Mary. She was upset with herself. Because she was so stressed out. She was so tired. And Jesus says, Martha, 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 Martha. Few things are needed. Indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better. And that's simply to rest with me. That's the question I want to ask you this morning as I close. Will you choose what's better in 2020? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I don't know how you came in here. I'm preaching to myself today. And if you don't have margin, I want you to understand that you're missing out on some of the main things in life. And if you would say, Pastor, I don't have consistent, intimate time with Jesus, and I want to. And I've just gotten so caught up in the work, and I've got caught up in life, and I've just gotten so busy. And today, Pastor, I just need help creating consistent, intimate time with Jesus. If I'm talking to you, just wave at me so I know who to pray for this morning. Just wave at me. Thank you. Hands going up. Thank you. Just leave them up. Leave them up. The second group, just leave your hands up. Second group is, you just need some rest. You've neglected resting. And you really thought what you're doing was necessary and right, and you just realize you're exhausted and you're worn out. And you just need rest. Rest for your soul and rest for your mind and rest for your body. And if that's you, would you just raise your hand? That's most of us. And here's what I would want to say to you. What I believe God is telling us today, God says this in the scriptures. He says, be still and know that I am God. And sometimes the reason we can't recognize that it's God is because we've been so busy and we haven't been still. So Father, today for everybody that's raised their hand, for those that need rest, for those that need intimate time with you, Lord, I just thank you for even the fresh slate of a new year. God, it's a new starting point. God, it doesn't matter how we got through 2019, 2020 is a new year. Today's a new day. Tomorrow's a new week. Wednesday's a new year. And Lord, we just commit to you today, Lord. We're going to take time for you. We're going to take time for ourselves. Lord, we're going to take time for our kids when it's wrestle time or ballet time or basketball time. We're going to take time for our spouse when it's date time or movie time, dinner time. Lord, we're going to lay the phones down. We're going to pick up the word. We're going to spend time with our family. We're going to rest in you. Give us strength. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, the greatest rest we'll ever find is in a relationship with Christ. We see things with Christ that we don't see. Maybe that's why Jesus said no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. He takes it a step further, talking about eternal life, says no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born again. Then Jesus makes this bold statement. He says, verily I say to you, you must be born again. It's the most important question you'll ever answer is, have you been born again? Not have you been christened or baptized or joined the church? It's all amazing. But have you been born again? It's so simple to do. It's ABCA. You just admit that you're a sinner. One thing we all share in common in this room is that we're all professional sinners and we've all fallen short, every single one of us. You just admit it. B, you believe. You believe what? You believe that Jesus took your place. He died on the cross in your place. He died for your sin, your shame, and your guilt. And see, you confess him as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. So today I just want to include you in a prayer. The prayer doesn't save you. It's the condition of your heart when you pray it. And if that's you today, say, Pastor, I want a relationship with Jesus. I want to be born again. I'm not going to call you out or embarrass you. I just want to know who I'm praying with today. But if that's you, would you just wave your hand at me? Just keep it up so I know who I'm praying with today all over this place. Thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Thank you. 8, 9, 10, 11. Very good. 12. Thank you. 13, 14, 15. Thank you. Church, we're going to pray out loud with 15 people this morning. We're going to join our faith with theirs. Let's all pray this out loud like it's the very first time we pray. Will you pray this with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe it on the cross. You took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. I believe that you faced hell for me so I would not have to go. And you rose on the third day to give me a place in heaven, a purpose on earth, and a relationship with your Father. And today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give all those that prayed that prayer today a big, big hand clap.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.